Our next speaker, Savannah Davis, who will also be talking about potassium applications in cotton.
Good morning, and thank you for that introduction. My name is Savannah Davis. I'm a student at Mississippi State University under the advisement of Dr. Darren Dodds, and today I'll be presenting some research regarding the varietal response of cotton to potassium applications under irrigated and dryland conditions. The selection of a variety is an important management decision that should be considered by producers, especially in times when there's a high seed cost and a high technology fee. Varieties should often be selected based on the environment due to the fact that some environmental factors will impact how a variety performs. Some of these factors include the average season length, the soil texture, whether the ground is able to be irrigated or not, as well as whether there's any insect or pest pressures present. Research has shown that the newer cultivars that have been developed have had had an impact on the potassium uptake of the plant. This is some research done by Mullins and Burmester in 1990, and this kind of shows that for cotton varieties that were modern in this time period, at the 65-day period, you saw an increase in the amount of potassium uptaken by the plant. Through some personal communication, depending on weather and environmental conditions, some growers can see bloom starting at the 52-day period. So this will push this graph to the left and possibly cause more potassium to be needed to be uptaken by the plant. Potassium is an essential element for cotton production. It's been found to reduce the disease incidence and severity, as well as help in boll establishment and development. It also helps with fiber elongation and fiber quality. Research has found that cotton, when compared to other field crops, is most sensitive to potassium deficiencies. Deficiency symptoms that are common in cotton are an intervenal chlorosis and then a red coloration of the leaves and petioles. It can be seen in both the upper and lower canopy depending on the growth stage. Early season deficiencies, you'll see the deficiency symptoms in the lower canopy because the plant is focused on its vegetative growth. After bloom, you'll start to see these deficiencies in the upper canopy because the bolls act as a sink and they use a lot of the potassium that the plant will uptake. It's common to see deficiency symptoms whenever you have any issues with your root uptake. So if there's a hard pan in the soil, or if there's a low pH, or if there's not a lot of moisture content in the soil. Previous research has found that irrigation will typically increase your cotton yields when compared to dryland cotton. There's some exceptions to this, including when you have high rainfall amounts or if you're using certain varieties. This graph is some data from the Mississippi State on-farm variety trials conducted this past summer, and in it you can see 15-18, when grown in irrigated conditions, ranked number 2, but when it was put in dryland conditions, it ranked number 10. On the other side of this, you can see Stoneville 6182 in irrigated conditions, ranked number 9, but when it was grown in dryland conditions, it was number 5. There's also been a relationship established between the soil moisture content and the potassium availability. As soil moisture content increases, more potassium becomes available to the plant, but as the soil becomes saturated, there's less potassium available because of the fact that there's a lower level of oxygen in the soil. Previous research has been conducted to look at the response of cotton varieties to irrigation or potassium application rates, but it's lacking in terms of looking at those two factors together. So the objective of this research was to determine the response of early and late maturing cotton varieties to irrigation schemes and potassium application rates. This experiment was located in Starkville, Mississippi at the R.R. Foyle Plant Science Research Center. We had two fields. Field 1 was a silty clay loam, and field 2 was a fine sandy loam. Both these fields had low potassium levels present in the soil. Field 1 had an average of 155 kilograms per hectare, and field 2 had an average of 117 kilograms per hectare. In both these levels, when looking at the average CEC of the soil, were categorized in the low portion of the soil test. Plots were 3.9 meters wide and 12 meters long. Field 1 was replicated 4 times, and field 2 was replicated 3 times. Plots were planted at a rate of 3 seed per foot in early May and then harvested on October the 4th with a 2-row plot picker. The varieties that we used were Delta Pine 1518, which is an early to mid-maturity, and Delta Pine 1646, which was a mid-maturity. Muriate of potash was applied pre-plant with hand spreaders at rates of 0, 56, 112, and 168 kilograms per hectare. Plots were irrigated based on sensor readings from watermark moisture sensors that were placed throughout the field. The irrigation was triggered when these sensors read 100 kilopascals. We had some issues in field 2 because of our soil texture. It was so sandy, it didn't respond well to the moisture sensors, and those sensors never read over 50 kilopascals. So through some trial and error, we decided to start irrigating those plots based on the sensor readings from field 1. Treatments were factorially arranged within a randomized complete block design, and our factors were irrigation, variety, and potassium rate. Data was collected throughout the season and analyzed in SAS 9.4 using the GLIMIX procedure. Data were subject to analysis of variance, and the means were separated by Fisher's protected LSD at a 95% confidence level. As we move into the data slides, I want to take a moment to set up the chart. On our vertical axis, we've got height in centimeters, and then across the horizontal axis, we've got our timings, which are bloom and defoliation. Yellow bars represent Delta Pine 1646, and blue bars represent Delta Pine 1518. At both these timings, Delta Pine 1646 was significantly taller than 1518, and this is it's an inherent characteristic of the variety, being that 1646 is a more aggressive variety when compared to 1518. This graph is looking at height at defoliation. Again, we've got height on the vertical axis, and across the horizontal axis, we're looking at irrigated and dryland plots. This data is pooled over potassium application as well as variety. Irrigated plots were significantly taller at defoliation, and this is commonly seen. This graph is going to look at potassium levels compared to pre-plant and harvest. Our potassium levels are on the vertical axis, and across the horizontal axis, we've got our potassium application rates. The yellow bars represent pre-plant levels, and blue bars are harvest levels. What's interesting to note about this graph is that no matter what the application rate was, there was an increase in soil potassium levels. And this could be attributed to the fact that soil potassium levels will vary throughout the growing season depending on when they're taken in the year. This graph is going to look at our yield by potassium rate. Yield is on the vertical axis in kilograms per hectare, and potassium rate is across the horizontal axis. So 168 kilograms per hectare was significantly higher than 56 kilograms per hectare in plots that were treated with no additional potassium. What's interesting about this is when you look at the potassium levels at harvest, which are represented by this blue line, they follow the same trend line. This chart is looking at our return on investment in field 1. We chose to just look at field 1 because of our yields were so low in field 2 because of our issues with the soil moisture sensors and irrigation. So what this shows is that plots treated with 112 kilograms per hectare, we had a $132 return on investment. And then plots that had 168 kilograms per hectare, there was a $308 return on investment. In terms of gen turnout, which is on the vertical axis, and variety, which is across the horizontal axis, Delta Pi in 1646 had a higher gen turnout than 1518. 1518 yielded higher than 1646, although it wasn't significant. But this is another inherent characteristic of this variety. In conclusion, variety selection impacted our plant growth and development. Also, irrigation significantly impacted cotton growth and development, and these data agree with Guathmie et al., who found that irrigated plots had a higher plant height and higher node count than non-irrigated plots. Potassium levels also increased over the growing season, regardless of the treatment, and this could be due to the fact of the impact of moisture on soil potassium levels. Potassium application rates also significantly increased cotton yield. Pettigrew et al. Found that plots treated with 112 kilograms per hectare of potassium yielded significantly higher than untreated plots. And variety selection also significantly impacted gen turnout percentage. Dodds et al. Found that in the on-farm variety trial, Delta Pine 1646 had a higher gen turnout than 1518. In terms of future research, I'd like to continue to evaluate the impact of irrigation and potassium rates on varying cotton maturities, as well as evaluate the amount of potassium that the plant takes up throughout the growing season. And this could be done with tissue sampling. I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated for their partial funding of this research, as well as Dr. Darren Dodds for his support. I'd also like to thank my fellow graduate students and student workers for all their help throughout the year, as well as the Mississippi State Farm crew for all that they do. With that, I'll take any questions. His question was whether we had a nematode population in either field, and as far as I know, no, we did not. Yes, sir.
Your rate of potassium, what are the units? You showed above 60, but what did you put out? What were the rates you actually put out, and what was the product?
So we used muriate of potash. His question was what rates of potassium do we actually put out, and what was the product? We use muriate of potash, which is our 060, and then the rates were 0 kilograms per hectare.
Of K.
Okay. His question was on our return on investment, whether the numbers were based on irrigated dry land or an average of both. And I got the base price from the enterprise budgets, and the graph I used was the one for a non-delta location. It was irrigated and 38-inch rows. Okay, his question was, in the state of Mississippi, what's the recommendation for 100% sufficiency in the...
Basically where you don't need to add any potassium fertilizer
or whatever. Okay. Typically for cotton, in order to get 1,500 pounds to the acre, you need 210 pounds of potassium in the soil. So... the recommendation is typically 150 pounds to the acre. She asked what depths were the soil data, and it was at 6 inches, or 0 to 6 inches. Yes, sir. He asked if we saw any potassium deficiencies in the plots during the growing season, and yes, we did. The image.
All that, I mean, all application rates?
It was varying throughout, but most of them did show potassium deficiencies.